entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC. Friends.
All right, back here in studio, 928 on your Thursday morning. Andrew Giuliani looks like a $1 million. Really does. Got a nice blue suit and white tie and beautiful blue, red, and white tie. I should say white shirt, nice pin. And he's got his really great podcast coming up. And he's been interviewing on this podcast all the Senate hopefuls in that race against Gillibrand coming up in November. Which includes Saproconi, Eisen, and today I guess I'll talk to Kara Castanova.
Yeah, that's right. And Sid, whenever I come in studio with you, I mean, it's a high bar that I need to.
I dressed down today. I'm just dressed in a nice little shirt that Louis Ricart made for me years ago. Skip Gambert, and that's it.
Even when you dress down, I love the orange. I mean, it's got your baseball team's kind of colors of heart right there. You know, they might not be 10-2 like my team, but still, you look very good.
10-3.
10-3.
You
sorry.
Lost to the
I forget about those losses.
Those
that's what we
losses
try to do.
You may forget. So Trump and Bragg about to go head to head on Monday, and we've had a lot of fun with that on this show. I know you're aware of that, but you know, there's very few stories that we try not to make about me. I mean, everything. Some we just can't do it. I mean, Ukraine, I'm having a tough time. You understand that. Unless I go to, like, Inavernicourse neighborhood in Sheepshead Bay.
Sid, I think it's the story that actually makes it about you. It's not you making the story about it. I think the story actually finds a way of making it about Sid.
Well,
how
in this case, that may be the case. Because before we even start this big trial, which is set to begin on Monday, despite Trump trying now 3 consecutive days to delay it, it turns out that they made public the 42 questions that will go to the jury. And question number 12, according to all these legal greats, Tacopina, Dershowitz, Idala, Pirro, Napolitano, they all say is directed right at me.
Yeah.
Right at me. Here is Judge Jeanine Pirro from yesterday's show. Andrew, you'll enjoy this. Cut number 15, talking about question number 12. Question number 12 to the Trump Manhattan jury is, quote, do you listen to talk radio? If so, what station shows? And at least according to Napolitano, Tacopina, Idala, and Dershowitz, that is a question directed at me.
Okay, first of all, they could ask that question verbally. They could say, and when I was picking jurors, I would say, what's your favorite book? What periodicals do you read? What newspapers do you read? It's basically the same thing, but it's in writing. So the question is it targeted toward you? Yeah, if it's coming from the prosecution, absolutely. But here's the thing. That is not a basis for cause to be removed if they listen to you. So it would just be the entree for more questions. All right, Sid is number one in New York City. If you listen to talk radio, chances are you listen to Sid, okay, on WABC. But then the question is, you know, they have to go further and say, is what he believes, is it everything you believe? Look, as far as I'm concerned, it's free press. It's not a basis for cause to remove someone from a jury. It's just the opportunity to ask more questions.
Wow.
And so then they could use a peremptory challenge, which is a challenge based upon the fact that I don't like the way you look. I want you off the jury. Okay? But not a challenge for cause. And you only have so many peremptories. So, but challenge for cause, it's not a basis, challenge for cause. Now, I don't know how my fellow lawyers handled it or what they said, but I just think it's a decent question.
Well, Sid, I mean, I couldn't agree with her more. And I think it absolutely is directed toward you, right? And think about WABC, right? You are the leadoff hitter and really kind of the cleanup hitter. You're the Aaron Judge leadoff hitter hitting home runs here for WABC. But also think about Rudolph Giuliani,
of
right?
Course.
Think about Curtis Sliwa, Republican
Kelly.
Mayoral, Greg Kelly,
yep.
James Golden. I mean, you've got somebody who was Rush's producer there for such a long time. John Catsimatidis. I know John is, John has been with both sides there at different times, but you know, just was at a Trump fundraiser, was one of the big underwriters to all that. So they're looking and saying, hey, wait a second. If you listen to WABC, it's a very good chance that you probably tilt pro-Trump. I thought, really, it was very important for the defense in this case to make sure that they got the political persuasion of the actual jury. Because, to me, This is a case where the facts almost don't matter. And what I mean by that is, if somebody actually looked at the facts and they were unbiased, they would see that this case shouldn't even go to trial.
No
question. Thrown out.
No question. But, and yet, most people I speak to seem to think he's going to get convicted.
Because it all has to do with jury selection.
It's
all
New York.
And you look about New York, you look at Manhattan, you say 4 in 5 have voted for Alvin Bragg, 3 of 4 have voted for Joe Biden. I mean, if you have a jury where just 2 people are fair-minded there, then Trump doesn't get convicted. But look at what's happened. We've had Letitia James, Marichal, you have Engoron. Look at all the characters, the horrendous characters that have come out of New York, the New York judicial system recently. How can you trust it?
You can't. Now, the last couple of weeks, right after he won the primary, abortion, I explained this to some of my friends, are like, he needs to talk more about abortion. No, he doesn't, dummy.
Yes,
because the truth is, that's not a Republican talking point.
Yes.
Okay? Once he won the primary, then yes, he's got to talk about it because that's all the Democrats have. Now, I'll give him credit. Between his Howard Kurtz interview, between his Truth Social video 2 days ago, and especially the interview he did with me, I thought he came off as very compromised. Mm-hmm. 16 weeks. He's all for exceptions. That's a very, very, very big deal. Leave it up to the states. Yet, some will say what happened in Arizona yesterday may be part of the death knell come November. I think that's way too much, but some are saying that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think this is, if I'm advising him, I'm telling him we have to pick our playing field that we're going to play on. And that playing field is going to be crime. That playing field is going to be the southern border. Those are our 2 playing fields. That's it. I mean, other things we can talk about,
Israel too.
Israel certainly has to do with it. And Biden, by the way, is in a massive bind when you look at Minnesota and Michigan with those no contest voters. So that's certainly an issue that I think Biden is really, really hanging himself on. And if you're advising Biden, if he could actually listen to you, he is in the 20th century after all, right. You're telling him to play on abortion. The ironic thing is, in the 20th century, Democrats' positions, the last president of the 20th century, Bill Clinton's position on abortion was safe, legal, and rare. How different is that than the actual mainstream of the Democratic Party right now, which it sounds like that's exactly what Donald Trump's position is.
It does. He sounds more like those guys. That's well done, Andrew. You're exactly right. He sounds more like those guys than these modern-day Democrats do. So Jason Miller was on this show Monday. Why was he on? Because, once again, you helped me. Thank you. I always give you the credit.
Thank you.
And he told me that Donald Trump will be in court every week for 4 to 6, maybe 8 weeks, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah.
He said, you need to come on this Air Force One plane with us. You'll love it. I said, yeah, thank you very much. He said, and we've got the plane here. So Wednesdays, Saturdays, Sundays, even weeknights, there'll be times we hop on the plane and go campaign. He said it's not the ideal situation, but those are the 4 weekdays we have to be in court. Otherwise, he's going to be working literally 7 days a week.
Yeah, well, that's exactly why this is lawfare, because A, they want to tie up his time. But B, if you look at this and you look at the fundraising shortfall. Exactly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The fundraising shortfall that the left has been talking about time and time again. Well, guess what? Over $75 million of those dollars that Trump has raised has had to go to his legal team for all this. So the Biden administration, they looked at this after the midterms and said, wait a second, Trump is probably going to be the nominee again. How do we do everything we possibly can to hamstring him? What they didn't realize was just how many Americans, how many independent-minded Americans as well look and say, we don't want a guy like, we may not like Donald Trump, but we don't want a judicial system that's going to go after innocent people and leading presidential candidates.
Andrew Giuliani, let me emphasize your point. Just last Saturday, down in Florida, Donald Trump raised nearly $51 million.
Yep.
Now, you know this, so do I. Those are not his buddies. That wasn't Sid, Andrew, and his golf friends. Those guys who gave big money had given money prior to people like Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, all of Trump's competitors. But they would much rather see Donald Trump win than the guy in charge right now. I thought that said a lot, that he raised $51 million, and a majority of that money, Not guys like us.
Yeah.
Not Trump lovers.
Well, I guess you could say inflation's been pretty big during the Biden administration. Last year, that might have been a $5 million ticket and became a $50 million ticket. So, no, but that's exactly right. I mean, I think that enough Americans look and say, I mean, how crazy can we actually be with this Biden administration? And we could talk about topic after topic after topic. You could talk about going after Israel, which you do so eloquently every single day.
Thank you.
You could talk about the border, the fact that New York has become a southern border state. You could talk about crime and the fact you look at Democratic politicians right now and you have a guy like Carl Hastie. And I know this is more local, but you have a guy like Carl Hastie that looks and says, wait a second. No, locking up criminals is not going to help crime. That is where the mainstream of the Democratic Party is now. That's not where the radicals are. The radicals have drove them left. And one of the things that I've been watching with Israel and specifically Michigan and Minnesota, I really think this pro-Arab, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas group in Michigan and Minnesota, I think they really want to cost Biden the election. And I'll tell you why. They want to own the Democratic Party in perpetuity going forward. And they say, you know what? If he's going to give us the lip service for the next 6 months, then the Democratic Party is not going to learn anything. But if we want to make them anti-Israel in perpetuity, we're going to cost them this election and they'll know that they can't mess with us. So when you talk about the history, the future of Western civilization being at stake, there's case in point.
I agree with you 100%. I think they want to cost the party the election. Now, I want to go back to local. You made a great point about Hastie. I want to play for you a cut from the mayor, what he said yesterday. You live in New York City still, right?
I do, Battery Park.
You're not the governor of Florida yet.
Not now that I've heard.
Not yet.
No, I don't think so.
You're going to be the one after Ron DeSantis leaves. But you still live in Battery Park, yes?
Yes, all I right. do. I'm all south, but just in the southern tip of Manhattan.
And you take the 4 train sometimes as early as 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I took it here today as a matter of
so
fact.
So you see all of New York.
Yes.
Okay, here's what the mayor had to say yesterday.
New York is the safest big city in America. This is not my opinion. The stats show that. We're the safest big city in America. But when I talk about, and thank you for that. You know, you're so kind. You know, these are the facts. Look at these numbers. What's that first one? All the way on the far left. Look at the numbers and look at where we are. Safest big city in America.
See, this is why I wish this show was simulcast on TV, because all you had to do was see Andrew Giuliani's face to know his answer. But we're not, so you're going to have to wait. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, and Giuliani will tell you what he thinks about Eric Adams' comment that we are, in fact, the safest big city in America. I got a bitch to sell you. She looks so fine. She's the best girl that I ever had. Sometimes you're going to make me feel so bad.
In the morning.
77 WABC.
All right, the very handsome Andrew Giuliani, looking like $1 million, ready to do his podcast this afternoon with Kara Casanova live in studio. And last we left before that break, I played a cut for you. When Mayor Eric Adams said, and I quote, "We are the safest big city in America." That's not my opinion. That's a fact. As a young man living in Battery Park, is he right?
I'm pacing around the studio the last 5 minutes, said you wouldn't let me comment on it and get it off of my chest over here.
Yeah.
Here I was on
That's
the
called
first,
a radio tease, folks.
Yeah, on the first day of the Masters, I was expecting you to introduce me with some sultry tones of Jim Nance talking through a light breeze of azaleas from Augusta National, Georgia. Instead, you give me Eric Adams telling me the city is great over here. What are you doing to me, Sid? You're killing me over here. Look, every single day, right? Come in. Check the trains out. Not like Curtis. I mean, I don't live on the trains like Curtis. But you just see how the quality of life is getting worse and worse and worse. Just the other day, I saw a guy who was all drugged up, and he almost fell onto the tracks. Thank goodness he fell backwards. But this is every single day that you see this. It's absolutely crazy. A couple weeks ago, there was a guy who was shooting up. We're talking about on Chambers Street here. A guy shooting up while a dad is bringing his three-year-old down the steps to go on the one train down there. This is every single day that you're seeing this devolve worse and worse and worse in New York City. And Sid, I've said this time and time again, but it's why you're starting to see the 30 and 40-year-olds with young families starting to say, hey, New York may not be the right place for me, because for my kids, I don't feel like it's safe enough. I feel like they're indoctrinated from an educational standpoint. And by the way, add congestion pricing onto it now. So there's just another one on top.
You know, you just nailed the argument that spits right in the face of Hochul and Adams.
Yes.
Because why are people leaving this state in the biggest numbers? Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah.
Because things are great, Kathy? Because things are great, Eric? Oh, no, it's only your perception. Well, my perception is Boca, sunny, and safe. That's my perception.
That's exactly right.
You know, but everybody keeps saying the same thing to, not everybody. Most people I speak to hate Adams. They're done with him. Hate him. Even some folks that used to like him, they hate him. But the ones that have defended him and continue to defend him always say the same thing to me. I think his heart's in the right place. I don't give a rat's ass where his heart is. Eventually, it comes to a time after nearly 3 years where if you don't execute, you're a loser.
Yeah.
You don't care where your heart is. Why do you think, if in fact his heart is in the right place, if it is, why is he such a crappy mayor?
Mm. I don't prove it. I can't prove it, but my suspicion is that he's compromised. My suspicion is he's compromised, and that's ultimately why. And you know what? Maybe part of him, maybe part of his heart, actually may be in the right place. I do think when he actually goes to sleep at night, whenever that is, after, you know, he goes out to the bars, 3 o'clock, he probably lays back and he thinks, what's my legacy going to be? Am I going to be this mayor that helped to bring New York City back? Or am I going to be just another mayor on kind of the path of de Blasio, Dinkins, and Beam.
That's what he is now.
Which sadly he is. And yeah. I think it's because anytime he actually takes his major initiatives, let's just take crime, because that's the number one thing. That's the number one, two, and three thing. I go back to his very first year in office. He had the maximum leverage at that time to go up to Albany and to sit with Kathy Hochul and to sit with the state Senate and the state assembly and say, hey, bail reform, you're going to reverse this. And if you don't, guess what, Kathy? You got a gubernatorial election here. And I'm going to go and cross party lines and endorse Lee Zeldin or endorse Andrew Giuliani or endorse Rob Astorino. Because if not, then guess what? You're going to take my city and you're going to take it down the tubes. He chose not to do that. He chose to play party politics. And ever since, he's lost more and more and more and more leverage.
You're right.
And he just can't press the right buttons.
He could have also, I mean, that would have been the best way to do it.
Yeah.
He could have endorsed nobody.
That's
but
exactly
he was
right.
So quick to endorse Hochul. Same thing with Biden.
Yeah.
If you're going to call out the national government, the federal government for this illegals crisis, why would you endorse Biden like he did 2 months ago, unprovoked? And then, the worst of all, is there anybody who shows Mayor Adams less respect than the head of the city council, Adrian Adams, where he's at an event with her about 3 months ago, gives her a hug and a kiss, and calls her his sister from another mother?
I mean,
wait, what are you doing?
Yeah, if you want to look at how little leverage Eric Adams actually has, the fact that the policing bill that passed at the beginning of the year that would ultimately make phase one and phase two stops, cops would have to actually write them down, right? Adams needed to swing 3 votes. He couldn't swing 3 city council votes. Think about that. You can't swing 3 city council votes as the mayor with part of the power of the purse, basically, to say, hey, look, what do you need in your district? Any decent mayor would have been able to look and say, hey, These are the three that we need to swing so that way we could protect our cops. That way our city won't just continue to devolve.
Giuliani would have gone 3 for 3 like Anthony Volpe. All right. You mentioned it earlier. You are a big-time golfer. Played golf at Duke. You know the game. You play the game. You and Trump go head-to-head often. Maybe again very, very soon. Scottie Scheffler is the favorite.
Yes.
Rory McIlroy right behind him. Tiger's out there. Most people think he won't be playing on Saturday and Sunday, but he's out there giving it a shot. He said, if everything stays okay, I got a shot. What do you see, Andrew Giuliani? Who wins the 2024 Masters?
Tough to go against Scheffler. He's played so well and striking the ball so great. But I'll go with a little bit of a long shot. I think he's in the, like, 25-1 range.
Vijay Singh?
Nah, he's at about 20,000-1, I think, right there. So if you put a dollar on him, maybe a 20,000-1, you're doing pretty good. I like Joaquin Niemann to actually go and win this week. Why? He's won twice on the LIV Tour, which I know is controversial. Won twice on the LIV Tour. He's been playing great. He actually got a special exemption. The only LIV golfer to get a special exemption, wasn't previously exempt, into the Masters. But more than anything, I'm just going to be on replay listening to Jim Nantz talk about Augusta. Of course, in between listening to Sid Rosenberg and Curtis Sliwa here on WABC.
It is an unbelievable event. And, you know, I've become very, very friendly with Jim over the years. And he does Super Bowl every couple of years. He did college basketball, that final game, for many, many years. Just retired a couple of years ago. And but this, the Masters, is as good as it gets.
And one more great note. I know we talked last week about Officer Diller and the fundraiser for him that that would ultimately lead to a round with me at Crystal Springs where you get your Masters pool. I'm happy to announce that that was sold out by our WABC listeners completely. So it's an amazing job here. And thank you to all those out there that are willing to go and stand up for the Diller family. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for what you do. And you know, listen, since you're a little boy, you saw that in your home with your dad. You know, your dad was going to funerals for cops when you were just a little boy. And you certainly, the apple did not fall far from the tree, because you love and respect the police like your father, like me, and like so many of us. You're great, man. Your podcast is great. You're great with me. I love you. And good luck with Kara today. We'll do this again very, very soon.
Absolutely, Sid. You're the best.
You're the best. Andrew Giuliani, everybody.